Nightmare Town.
Hello neighbors, this is Betty Boom with a quick announcement before we get into the episode. What Amanda and I had planned did not work out, and so we actually wound up losing that audio. She and I are going to have to re-record later on and I guess post that later this week. So you're actually going to be getting two Nightmare Town episodes this week, which is pretty ballin'. Until then, we do have a Tale from the Neighborhood watch, so please enjoy this spooky story from one of our neighbors. Bye!
Hello neighbors, Betty Boom here, and I have a surprise Tales from the Neighborhood watch. One of my co-workers, Isaac, was telling me that they have a story, and they're willing to share it with us. So I'm going to hand this over to them, and here's the story.
All right, so roughly 4 years ago, Halloween night, I was in high school working at the Lobalt Parts store in Sparta. And I was a friend with somebody who was interested in going to this local haunted house. They called it the Big House or the Breeding House. I guess there was a family name with the last name Breeding. And it's been abandoned for years. And we'd always heard a ton about it, but I'd never personally seen it. And so we all decided to meet her, a guy that she was interested in, and a mutual friend between mine and hers, all decided to pack up and drive down in the middle of the night to go look at this house. We just so happened to have all been working that night. We got off around 6 or 7 o'clock, and so we were going to have to go like pretty late, like in the night. Our mutual friend came and picked us up, and we were going to go pick up her guy friend. We'll call him a guy friend. And so the two girls came and picked me up. I got in the passenger seat. My friend got in the back seat. Our mutual friend was driving. We were going to pick him up, and it was raining outside, which was a little unfortunate given that it was Halloween night. We're about to be outside for...
When you say haunted house, are you meaning like you pay money to go into this, or like just a local legend haunted house?
Local legend. Local legend haunted house. They say that there were things there. They say that, you know, it's been abandoned for a specific reason. X, Y, Z. No one really knows. It was just a lot of urban legend.
I'm going to have to do some research on that one. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was kind of weird to think that there was something like that in the hometown. Because like I said, you had always heard about it, but you never really knew if it was like really abandoned or if it was really haunted.
It's like Crazy George's Bridge.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, but we didn't have to pay or anything like that. You know, we go out there, and it is like private property, you know.
Little disclaimer,
we did break the law a little bit, but it was kind of a common thing for, you know, some kids to do. Or at least that's what we had heard. People go out there all the time and go visit. Well, either way, middle of the night, Halloween night, it's raining, and we're driving towards, like I said, the guy friend's house to go pick him up, and the girl that's driving is going just a little too fast on some wet roads. And so this kind of was like the first big mistake of the night, like something that should have been like, maybe you know, have a rain check, or, you know, maybe you postpone. But she's driving around the curve on this wet road and was going just a little too fast. And I remember telling her, hey, you know, slow down. Let's not like take this curve super fast. And she goes, oh, yeah, okay, Isaac, no problem. Like, I'll slow down. Well, here we are going around the curve. She didn't slow down.
Oh, no.
Well, on the other side of this curve is this massive drop-off that goes down like 10, 15 feet. And we hydroplane off of the road. And her front wheels hit the ground, like the actual grass.
Uh-huh.
And it catches a little bit of traction. And it spins us around. Does like a big circle spin. And we miss a tree by like inches. Maybe inches. So she's freaking out. She takes her hands off the steering wheel. She covers her eyes. She's yelling, but she has her foot planted on the gas pedal.
Oh, no.
And so the tires and wheels are just spinning, and you've got our mutual friend in the back bouncing around because they didn't have a seatbelt on. And I'm, you know, pinning myself up against the arm grab and, you know, holding myself still. And I was telling her, I was like, hey, grab the wheel, grab the wheel, grab the wheel. Well, she doesn't. And so I'm like, okay, well, I got to, like, see what I can do. So I go to grab the wheel, and I'm trying to steer us out of it. And somehow, some way, we get super lucky, and we end up back on the road. But because she just had her foot on the gas, we were like veering into the other side of the lane, and there was a car coming. So I told her, I was like, hey, look at the road. So she finally opens back up and she's like, okay, and grabs the wheel, pulls us off out of the way of the car, and we straighten out, and all of a sudden, like that couple seconds of chaos just ended, and we're like sitting there quiet, scared to death, didn't know what to think.
And then you went,
no. Oh, we, that's what I'm saying. It's like it should have been the first sign going on. But we drive for maybe a couple more seconds and we get close to the courthouse because it was right around the courthouse road where the big wide turn is on River Road. And we pull over to like a local church in downtown and we all just kind of like don't say anything, get out of the car to like stretch our legs, relax for a second, and
unclench your buttholes.
Yeah, basically just try to like kiss the ground essentially. So I just go check the car, make sure it's all good. Luckily there was no damage to it or anything like that. We kind of just had to reassess what we wanted to do. So I looked at them and I said, okay, are you guys good? Are you okay? Like, you want me to drive? Like, we can still do this, but you know, it's
no,
whatever
just
you'd
go
like
home.
I wish that's what we would have done, but they're like, yeah, you can drive, it's fine. So I get in the car and we start driving up to the friend's house, the guy friend's house, and we go to pick him up, and it takes about 20 minutes to get up there. We pick him up, we tell them this crazy story of trying to get there, and he's like, oh, you know, that sucks. Like, man, y'all are crazy. Y'all all right? Like, yeah, we're fine. And then on we go to this 30-minute drive to get to this urban legend of a house.
Mm-hmm.
We drive our way down there. We get to the house. And whenever we get to the house, you can't even see it from, like, the main road. You just kind of pull up,
mm-hmm.
and it's on this little side gravel dirt road. You have to pull off, and there's a fence. And in that fence, past its private property, if you pass it, you're trespassing. Well, the house, according to what we've heard, the house that was kind of next door to that private property that the house, that the, you know, urban legend house sat on, the big house sat on,
mm-hmm.
Was supposed to basically watch it and keep people from trespassing.
So they're snitches.
Essentially. But I think they may have had something to do with, like, the property owners at the time. I'm not entirely too sure. But we made sure to, like, turn our lights off as if we were pulling in. That way we weren't being, you know, shining lights into their house or anything like that. And when we pull up, we all get out of our cars. We shut the doors real silently. And now we're here. We're like, okay, so, you know, what do we do? Do we just, like, jump the fence and keep walking? Because, like I said, you can't see it. Because once you pass the fence, you then have trees, a line of trees on either side of you. Your left side, your right side. And you just have to walk down this gravel road for like a quarter mile, eighth of a mile, something like that.
Is this like a big plantation house?
It's very similar to that. That's
okay.
What it looks like.
That's
what I'm
seeing in my brain.
Yeah, it's a plantation style house. And the thing is once you walk that quarter mile, eighth of a mile down this gravel road, the wood line to your left will just cut off. It'll just veer off and it opens up into this massive field. And right in front of you is going to be the big house. And so, like I said, we turned our flashlights on from our phones and we're walking down here. We're kind of talking about it. We're gossiping like, oh man, like I wonder what's up with this. I wonder if there's anything true about it, XYZ. And then, like I said, the tree line veers off and boom, the house is right in front of us. And now we're like looking at it and it's just as creepy as like we had heard. And so as we're looking at it, we start talking, okay, like, what are we going to do? Are we going to like go in here and see something crazy? Like, I wonder, do we want to go upstairs? I heard there's an upstairs. Do we want to go downstairs? Like, what do we want to do?
Don't go to the basement. That's how you die.
It, again, like I said, I mean, it was just the conversation that we were having. And we started walking up to it. And nothing crazy. And we were taking our time walking up to it. But, you know, we didn't hear anything, didn't see anything. It's just a creepy old house. We walk in. And as we're approaching the front porch, we notice that it's, like, dilapidated. Mm-hmm. And the front porch was dipping into the cellar. So it was like a 6 or 7 foot drop. And so we were like, okay, we're going to have to be like careful, you know, walking into it. Cause like already there's a really dangerous like drop into the cellar.
Or you could just go home. or find a back door that hopefully doesn't have a cellar.
Well, you know, we had already drove that far, and none of us were willing to walk around this creepy house in the night. So we were just like, okay, you know what? We're just going to do it. You know, let's just shimmy around the front porch on places where there is good wood. Let's just, you know, if somebody falls in, it's going to have to get them out. That was kind of our approach to this. So we shimmied around the front porch, and we all get inside of the house. We cross through the front door, and all of a sudden, you're in a mudroom. And this mudroom has four doors. It has the front door. It has a door right in front of that that goes into a stairwell room. And then there's doors to the left and to the right. Mm-hmm. And they're all open. There's no hinges or any, you know, any door on. It's just door frames. And to the left and right look like living rooms or dining room areas or whatever. And to the front, like I said, was a staircase room. So, or stairwell room. So we walked into the stairwell room because we're just like, okay, let's see, like, what's
can we get upstairs?
In here? Yeah, you know, there was... Upstairs good, we'd be able to walk up there. So we walk in, and the mutual friend, the one who brought a guy friend with her, just decided to, you know, take her backpack off. Because she had brought a bag, and no one was thinking anything about it. And
what did she bring?
Well, she takes it off of her shoulder, and she says, okay, like, I think that little closet's going to be, like, a cool place to check out. So we walk in there, and I'm... not really paying too much attention. I'm shining my light around everything, and we kind of shimmy our way, you know, slowly walk over to the closet, and she, like, sits down, and I'm curious as to what she's doing. I'm like, like, I wonder what she has. Well, she opens up her bag, and she pulls out a Ouija board. And I'm like, what? You know, because, like, I don't know. Like, you grow up in the South in a very small Christian town. You're obviously going to hear, like, a lot of stories about what a Ouija board is, you know, kind of how it works and what happens to people when they use it. And so I kind of was like,
and
you
yet
know,
you can buy them at Walmart.
Right. And that's the funniest part of this story. She had went to Books A Million, not even a couple days prior, and had bought it for like $25. So we're sitting there, right, in this weird, creepy house.
Did you play?
They decided they wanted to. And I immediately kind of started expressing my disdain. How I didn't want to. And I thought, I was like, you know, honestly, I think I'm good. Like, you guys can play it. I'm not worried about that. But I'm not going to play. And that's all right. Like, y'all can do what you want to do.
Did you know that even if you don't play, that your energy still feeds it?
I was not aware. I was not too in the know with what a Ouija board was and how it worked. But I knew that I didn't want to put my hands on it.
Okay.
And so that's what I informed them of. And so after the fact... after I was like, okay, you know what? You guys can do what you want to do. I'm just going to keep looking around.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to leave the room and start, you know, looking around with my flashlight. So I walked around in the stairwell room, just checking stuff out, seeing, like, what was on the walls, seeing if anybody had, like, gone in there and, like, graffitied or whatever. Well, I came back and was going to talk to them and see what they were doing, to see where they were at. And as I walk into the closet door where they were sitting down in, all of a sudden, and it was just the most obvious thing that something had either fell or hit the ground in the attic, because there was this loud thud right above us. I mean, it was just like...
Anyway, okay.
Sorry about the sound quality, but there was this massive thud, okay?
Yeah.
Massive thud, and we all kind of stopped for a second, and we... like, okay, what's going on? Like, what was that? A couple seconds later, all of a sudden it sounds like something is, like, dragging a table. It sounds like legs of a table on the ground being dragged, like, across, like, over the top. But we sat there and we were like, okay, what was that? You know, we started, like, freaking out a little bit. We're like, okay, is that, like, upstairs? Like, what's going on? So we run outside to the closet room. We get into the stairwell room, and we're all shining our phones up in the attic, like, where the staircase leads up to.
Third mistake.
I don't even know if it was a mistake, per se, because, like, we would have had to go that way to get out of the house anyway. So, as we're doing that, we start to, like, make our way to the front door. And so, we're making our way to the front door. And as we're walking that way, we start hearing this, like, series of thuds. Like, just these sounds like some people stomping on the ground above us, going towards the stairs.
No.
And so... as we hear that, we're like, okay, okay. Like, at this point, we are, like, rushing to kind of get out. But we know we have to be careful because the front porch is dilapidated. And we don't want to, like, fall into it, but at the same time we're like trying to get out. So we're all kind of like ushering each other, like, go. We're running out. I'm kind of shining my light at the stairs, trying to see what it is, you know, because you never know. We didn't know if it was an animal. We didn't know if it was a person, you know, just maybe like a homeless person or somebody that was there because it was Halloween night playing a prank, or a demon. We did not know. And so we got out of the house and just started running back to the car. Like I said, maybe like an eighth or a quarter of a mile, just sprinting to the car. We get in it, we start it up, and I pull out of there at like immediately 50 miles, 60 miles an hour on this back road. And no one's saying anything. We're all like super creeped out. We don't know what to think. We're just...
Let's go.
You know, let's go.
Get out of here.
Well, maybe 3 minutes passed of this silence in the car, and we're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, the mutual friend who had brought the bag, she goes, "We're going to have to turn around."
No, no, you don't.
And I go, "What do you mean? Like, why do we have to turn around? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on?" She goes, "Well, I dropped my bag." I was like,
"Too bad?"
I was like, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, we can come back in the morning, or you can come back in the morning when it's daylight out. You can see and you can get it. You know, it's not a big deal.
But it's
you
not left Halloween it. Night.
Exactly. And
the only thing that can make this spookier is if it was a full moon.
I can't even remember that detail, but it very well could have been. But she says, "No, seriously, like, I spent $25, like, on the Ouija board, and my bag's there. Like, I kind of want to just go back and go get it. Like, that was nothing. It was probably just an animal. It's gone now. If it wasn't an animal, it was probably just a homeless person. We just sneak in and grab it and leave." And I was like,
"No.
Hey, Books A Million doesn't do returns on Ouija boards. I'm sorry. Like, that's probably not their policy. Like, we're good. Like, let's just go home, and then you can come back later." Well, at this point, I'm starting to be the only one objecting to it, because everybody else is either staying silent, or our mutual friend said, "Well, Isaac, you know that that is her stuff, and if she wants to go back and get it, like, we shouldn't just tell her no." And so now I feel bad. Now I feel guilty. I'm like, dang, you know, maybe she's right. Maybe it is her stuff. We don't have to go up there. Maybe she can just go up there and get it. I'm not too sure. But obviously I'm not going to let her just walk into that house by herself. So I'm having these mixed feelings and end up deciding to go ahead and turn around. And we drive back. And we park.
It's your fifth mistake.
A series of bad mistakes.
Oh, in teenagers. A
row. Well, we get out of the car, and we all decide to walk up to the house. But by the time we get to the house, we're face to face with it, the two girls get cold feet. And that's okay.
Did they make you go in there by them?
Yes.
Oh, no.
So they get cold feet. And me and the other guy there decide, like, you know what, like, we might as well just go ahead and walk in. See if we can find it, grab it, and leave. And whatever it is that's up there, we should be fine. It shouldn't be anything crazy. Mm-hmm. Whatever it was, it's probably just a small animal. That's our mindset. We're going up there trying to hype ourselves up, trying to get us to go in here.
Yeah, I can take out a team.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so we're walking up to the house, and we're going extremely slow because we're terrified on the inside. We're trying to, you know, be, you know, strong and, you know, brave and everything like that. But we walk up to the house and we get maybe 30 feet from it, 40 feet from it, not far. And all of a sudden we start hearing these like hits against the wall facing us. And it's upstairs like everything else that happened was. And we kind of just stop. We start looking at each other like, "Do you hear that? Like, what is that?" And as we're like waiting, kind of like hearing if anything else is going to happen, because there's like a couple seconds in between each like thud that happens against the wall, all of a sudden we start hearing glass that from the windows upstairs that had been broken. Glass is like now falling off of the window because there's enough force being put onto the wall between these hits to kind of like make it drop.
Yeah.
And so we kind of like turn around and look at the girls and we go, "You guys hear that?" And they shake their heads no. And they're like trying to hear what we're saying. And then all of a sudden we start hearing these little like, it sounds like glass was being tossed at us. Because as we're not facing the house, we start hearing glass hit the ground close to us. Mm-hmm. Like if glass was just falling, it wouldn't have reached us that far. And so as the glass is just hitting near our feet, we turn around and we look up and we see little shards coming from the direction of one specific window upstairs. And we start to back up because at this point we're starting to get like an eerie feeling of like, okay, one, that's not an animal.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. So now our minds are starting to go towards this is either a person who's just like playing a prank or it's a homeless person who's like trying to get us away. And I don't, because none of us really believed in anything crazy, I don't think. You always heard the stories, but at this point our minds weren't going there. We were still trying to be rational. We were still trying to think that it was, you know, just a person, which again, very well could have been. So we just take that as a, you know what, we need to leave anyway, because if that is a person, they're throwing glass at us, it's not a good idea. So we start to kind of like jog back to the girls and we tell them like, hey, we can't go in there right now. There's somebody throwing glass at us. And the girls are like, what are you talking about? Like someone's throwing glass at you? And we're like, yeah, let's go. We just got to go. So we get in the car and we leave again.
Okay.
So this time we don't get 3 minutes down the road and turn around or anything like that. We drive all the way back to town. And at this point, it's roughly 12 at night, almost 1 o'clock, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Because it was about a 30-minute drive from that point to town. So we get back in town and we meet up at the local McDonald's and we're just hanging out. And it's less scary than a haunted house. It's, mm-hmm. you know, in the middle of everything. So we're just talking and we're kind of just basically freaking out about what had happened.
Processing and what happened.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we're sitting there and we're talking about what happened, processing it. And then the friend who had dropped the bag and the Ouija board decided that it was a good idea. And this is the craziest thing. This was like the most aggravating thing to me at the time. Decided that it would be a good idea to go back for a third time. Because whatever it was no longer there. And if it was a person, they weren't going to be there at 2 o'clock in the morning, which would have been roughly the time that it would have been whenever we got back. And sure enough, while I'm against it, everybody else is kind of like, ah, sure.
You got outvoted again.
Again.
Okay.
And so
that's when you just go home.
And I wish that was my option, but they were my ride home and they really wanted to go back.
That's when you walk. Or you'd be like, yeah, no, I'll drive us back. And then you drive yourself home in their car and be like, thanks, guys.
You know, and that would have been a good idea because my house was on the way.
Uh-huh.
But we stopped and we got gas. And I was reluctant the whole time. Like, this is so dumb. Like, we could go back in the morning. Yeah. Well, we get there. After 20 minutes of driving, we walk up to the house. Again, the whole process. Scared, slowly approaching the house, whatever. We get inside. At this point, as we're starting to approach the front porch, the girls get cold feet again. So they're like, you know what, we're going to stay back.
You know, no, they don't get to do that.
I wish they didn't, but they did.
No.
And so we told them, okay, that's no problem. We don't hear anything. Nothing crazy is happening. So me and the other guy walk into that mud room, and I decide I'm going to go in here and check out where we were. So I walk into the stairwell room, being cautious, don't hear anything, shining a light, and I'm not seeing this bag anywhere. I'm not seeing the Ouija board anywhere. Can't find it. And I'm searching high and low. Like, I'm looking everywhere, shining my light everywhere.
Is it in the attic?
It's, I didn't look. I didn't go up to the attic. Because I was like, I don't personally want to do that. So I'm looking around, and I go, hey, have you seen it? Are you finding it? And again, I can't see him. We're in other rooms, and I don't hear anything. I'm like, okay. So I'm looking around, and I'm like, okay, well, where's he at? Hey, where you at? He doesn't respond. So I walk my way back from the closet that we were in originally, where the Ouija board was pulled out of. I walk back into the mud room, which is where all the other doors are and the front door. And I see him, and he's facing the door to our left. Whenever you enter the house, mm-hmm. if you look to your left, there's a room. And I walked out of the stairwell room, and I saw him looking into that room. And I said, hey, you see something? He doesn't respond. And I walked up to him. And I couldn't see his eyes. I couldn't see his face because I was kind of at his side behind him looking at him. So I walked up and I grabbed his shoulder and said, hey, you see something? I kind of turned him towards me. And when I turned him towards me, it like broke his contact or his staring. And he looks over at me. He's got like tears in his eyes. And he's like shaking when I touched him. And I was starting to freak out. I was like, are you okay? Like, what are you looking at? And I go to look in the room that he was looking in. And he just grabs me and pulls me to look at him. And he starts to just like pull me out of the house. Like, we start going towards the front porch. Mm-hmm. And he just, with a shaky voice, is like, okay, we gotta go. He grabs me, pulls me, and he just starts booking it towards the car. And I'm confused because I didn't see anything. I didn't know what was there. I didn't know what was happening. He just grabs me and we go. And as we're running down the gravel driveway or the gravel walkway, we pass the girls and they ask me, like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. He didn't tell me. I didn't see anything. And they were like, well, did you get the bag? And at this point now we're running together. And I'm like, no, we didn't get the bag. He was freaking out. Like, he has tears in his eyes. We get in the car. I drive. And it's just quiet. And it's silent. No one's talking. No one's saying anything. And we don't say anything the entire drive home. And to this day, I still don't necessarily know what he saw or what was in that room. And from my understanding, they went back, or the girl went back another day and could not find that bag or that Ouija board anywhere.
You should check the attic.
Probably.
Don't do it. Stay away. But anyway, guys, that is our first neighborhood watch in a while. If you guys have your own, you know what to do. And thank you, Isaac.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I gotta get back to work. Okay, bye.